Well, hey guys, if I've not met you, my name's Harrison. Most of you I've seen before, but some of y'all are new, so that's who I am. I help run the junior high stuff around here. While y'all were at spring break, having a blast or sleeping in all day and eating Pichos, that's what I did on spring break, we had a different message last week that didn't correspond with this series. So you can check that out. Sean taught and did an awesome job. You can check that out online. But to remind you of where we are, we're in a series called Multiply, a series about discipleship. So 2 weeks ago, if you were here or you weren't here, a refresher, we talked about a guy named Paul. Anybody know Paul in here? A couple people know Paul. Yeah. All right. So we talked about how Paul not only was influential for a bunch of people, he invested in one person. That's what made his influence so great, is he poured into somebody else. And we looked at how you guys each have that opportunity to be invested in by a Paul. We all need a Paul, and you guys have one in your leader. If you don't have a leader, you don't have a small group, we'd love to get you one. You'll hear some more about that today as well. So we looked at, we all need a Paul, but how did Paul get invested in? Where did he grow? Who are the people that were walking with him through life? There's a guy that I've gotten to know a little bit around here, and I've heard him talk at different times. His name is Celestin Musakara, and he's not from Dallas. He is from Uganda. He is from Africa, grew up in Africa, now lives in Dallas. He helps run a ministry called Alarm, and he has a crazy story. Crazy, because some of us go through hardship, really hard things. Celestin grew up in a time in Uganda when there was a huge massacre of people throughout the land, and he watched his family get killed in front of his eyes. And through the power of Jesus Christ and the gospel, his death and resurrection, Celestin has looked those men in the face and forgiven them. And he has now started a ministry of, ALARM stands for African Leadership and Reconciliation Ministries, of calling people to love people for the sake of the gospel. Unbelievable man. But he has this cool phrase that I've heard him say that's way cooler when you hear an African say it. I'm not African, and so that I can't do it justice, but I can pretend to be Rafiki, so it's just as close. Here it is. Here's how it goes. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. See, it's just cooler that way. It's cooler when you pretend to be Rafiki from The Lion King. But so here's what it says. Now, again, he grew up in the bush of Africa, in not necessarily jungle, but out in the plains of Africa where lions are roaming everywhere. So this phrase says, if you want to get somewhere quickly, man, go by yourself. Any one of us could just sprint out these doors and get wherever we want. But it's a lot harder to move all of us quickly out the doors. But if you're walking through lion-infested lands, you want other people so that you're not just lion food for lunch for the lions. And so interesting phrase, a phrase that was helpful for me to hear and something that we're going to look at together. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. There's a great scene in a movie that illustrates it. Some of you may have seen it. Some of you may not. Not endorsing the film, but it is a great movie. It's called Forrest Gump. Have you seen Forrest Gump? Classic film. And Forrest starts a friendship with a guy named Bubba. Bubba wants to shrimp for the rest of his life. If you've ever been to Bubba Gump Shrimp, then you have seen this great relationship. So they ended up getting drafted into the military. They go to war. And this is what happens.
So fast that pretty soon I was all by myself, which was a bad thing.
Bubba!
Bubba was my best good friend. I had to make sure that he was okay.
Bubba!
And on my way back to find Bubba, Well, that was this boy laying on the ground.
Heck. Okay.
I couldn't just let him lay there all alone and scared the way he was. So I grabbed him up and run him out of there. Looking for Bubba, somebody else was saying, "Help me, Forrest, help me."
I gotta find Bubba!
Do you have a friend like that? Not named Forrest or Bubba. When I ask that question, here's what probably comes to mind. Your best friend. And they're probably wonderful. They really are. They're probably fantastic. But here's what I'm not talking about. When I say, do you have a friend like that? I'm not talking about somebody that you just play video games with, somebody that you just hang with on the weekends, somebody that you just walk to and from school with because they live next to you. I'm not talking about somebody that you go to Zara with, ladies, or H&M sales, or whatever you do now. We're not talking about just a buddy. We're not talking about somebody who's just in your life. Do you have someone that will be there for you when no one else will be? Do you have someone that will go to war with you? Somebody who, even push past the analogy, will run back into the heat of battle, will risk their life for the sake of your life because they think you are that important. Do you have somebody you can link arms with? Somebody that you can lean on? Somebody that when you are down and you cannot carry yourself, will pick you up physically or emotionally or just be there and carry you through whatever you're going through? Do you have somebody like that? Maybe another question is, are you that kind of friend to somebody or others? Yeah, it's a cool clip in a cool movie. But here's the reality. We are at war. All of us in this room are at war. Harrison, are you kidding me? No, we're not. I mean, I play Call of Duty. I'm at war there. But I'm not at war right here. Yes, you are. And some of you know it, and most of you don't. We are in a war that is not about guns and flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual war with an enemy that is out to destroy you, to seek your soul, and to wreck your life. And some of you are like, oh yeah, I know, I'm, you know, there's temptation. I mean, he's literally trying to kill you with whatever means possible or kill your relationship with the Lord. And most of you guys have no idea you're in a war. Some of you, you go, look, I don't know this enemy, Satan guy you're talking about. I don't even know if there's a God. Hey, well, there's still a war for your soul too. We are at war, and we need each other. In the midst of this war, you're not just out there with a gun, armed with your Bible, going, okay, where's the attack? Is it coming? Am I shielding it? We need people in our lives that can carry us. We need to be people in others' lives that can carry them. There's a guy we're going to look at this morning. His name's Barnabas. Unbelievable, influential man that has led you to where you are, and I think we can learn from him. Let me give you some context. Barnabas is not his real name. His real name is Joseph. That's confusing. Why do we call him Barnabas? Well, in Acts chapter 4, the church is exploding and growing, and they're fellowshipping together, and they're giving all of their stuff to one another, and this guy Joseph sells his field, sells what he owns, and gives everything to the church to care for other people. And so what these people do, the church decide to give him a nickname. Anybody have a nickname in here? You got a nickname? Yeah? Some of it maybe is an awesome nickname. Some of you are like, please give me another nickname. So this guy, because he's so amazing, they call him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. This dude was such a blessing to other people, so kind, so generous, so loving of others, that they said, dude, there's no other way to call you but just encouragement. You are what comes from encouragement. We love you. And that is how history knows him, is by Barnabas. Fast forward a few chapters later, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. Before we go there, I want you to turn there. So pull out your phone, pull out your Bible. I want you to be with there with us. I would encourage you guys to bring your Bible on your phone or physically to Wake, to small group. We want to help you. We want to teach you how to go through God's word. I don't care if you go to Christian school or you've never opened a Bible before. If you don't have one, we'd love to help you get one. We want to teach you how to use God's word as a tool to seek it for life so you can seek life in Jesus Christ. So Acts 9, here's what's happening. There's a guy named Saul. Saul is the greatest killer of Christians that ever lived, especially at the time. Saul was out trying to kill anybody that believed in Jesus. At this time, in Rome, if you believed in Jesus, you could be killed on the spot. Wow. Glad I don't live in that time. And so Saul's going around and hearing these people of the way that follow Jesus, and he wants to murder all of them. He's on his way to Damascus. On his way to Damascus, this huge light shows up, and it's not these like Navy SEALs shooting him with a light beam or like Star Trek or something. Jesus shows up to Saul and reveals himself to him in this great light, blinds him, and says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Radically right there, Saul is converted to be a killer of Christians, to become a Christian and a follower of Jesus. He goes, people prophesy over him, teach him these ways. He begins teaching the gospel and spreading the faith all through these synagogues. This man that used to kill Christians is now calling people to follow this Christ. And he comes to Jerusalem where the church is centered, hubbed, and located. And he goes, "Hey, I'd love to worship with you guys." And they go, "No way! Get away from us! Oh my goodness! We're going to die!" He's like, "No, you're not. I'm just here to hang." Let me put it this way. Anybody heard of ISIS? ISIS. Who hasn't? All right. It would be like if the head of ISIS came in here and was like, "Hey, I'm a Christian now. Can I hang here?" You'd be like, no. It'd be awesome, but it'd be really, really freaky. This is the man that is sitting in their midst, the man that wanted to cut their heads off a few days before. And now because of his relationship with Jesus, the transformation that happens, here is where we are. And this is what happens. Chapter 9, verse 26. When he, Saul, had come to Jerusalem, Saul attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him. They freaked out, just like you saw. They did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, the guy we're talking about, took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared to them how on the road On the road, he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and disputed against the Greeks, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church multiplied. So here's where we see Barnabas show up again. And I want to show you what Barnabas does, because Barnabas, as I said earlier, is one of the most influential men that very few of us actually think of. Barnabas was a friend to Saul. Greater than that, maybe one of the greatest friends he'd ever had. And it is because of Saul that we now have the opportunity to believe what we believe. It's because of the Lord, but the Lord through Barnabas to Saul and through Saul. Here's what Barnabas does. First, he goes and finds Saul. So Saul shows up to Jerusalem, and everyone flees from him. Everyone runs away from him like if a bunch of girls see a cockroach and just go, "No!" They just get out of there. And so Barnabas isn't the guy that's just like, fine. He goes after Saul, and he goes to him, and he probably, it doesn't say, but he probably is just going, "Hey, man, what's your story? Is this real? Do you really believe Jesus now? How did that happen? What do you believe? Help me here. This, can you understand how this is freaky?" He has a conversation with him. He goes and finds him. He sees him. He values him. He loves him. He makes him feel like he is worth something because he is. I don't know where you're at today, but there are probably some of you who go, "Yeah, I don't think anybody notices me. I think people are just scared of me. I think people just don't care about me." Or maybe you're the one making others feel that way. Barnabas goes and finds him. Man, if you're here and you are Saul, you are not a person that loves Jesus and follows Jesus, I'm so glad that you're here. You are welcome here. If you're somebody here that hates God and doesn't want anything to do with this, I am so glad that you're here, and I hope you come back next week because this is a place for you. We want to help you answer questions and wrestle through what you believe because we want to love you the same way Jesus loved us. We are no better. We just know Jesus, and it is unbelievable, and we'd love to share that with you. So Barnabas goes and finds this guy, and then what he does is he speaks up. He brings him to the people, and he just goes, hey, you know what? I'm going to stand by this guy. I'm going to vouch for him. I'm going to put my reputation on the line. I'm going to say I'm his friend. I believe that this is true. And not only does he speak up, he speaks life into him. He hears his story and in front of others encourages Saul, now Paul, what he sees in him, the gifts that he has, the things that he's good at, the ways that God is using him. He speaks life into him, celebrates him. In front of others, he encourages him. Guys, we are at war, and we need a Barnabas. We need someone who is going to encourage us in those moments where we feel like nobody else cares. What Barnabas does overwhelmingly in this passage is he encourages Paul. He just encourages him. Now, here's what encouragement isn't. Encouragement isn't just like, I like your shoes. I mean, that's a compliment. And compliments can be encouraging. But what I'm talking about here is going out of your way to intentionally look at something in someone else's life and call it out so that they can be encouraged by what you see in them. Encouragement is speaking life into somebody. Whether that's their gifts, something that they're really good at, something that you think they have potential in, something that they have done that has made you happy or made you have a better day. We don't do a good job of calling that out in people, and we can grow in that by learning from Barnabas. It builds them up. Encouragers want others to do well and not just themselves to succeed. Barnabas is not concerned about his reputation, but wants Saul, now Paul, to flourish and celebrate the gifts that he has so that God can do even greater things. I want to tell you about a story of a kid 100 years ago. His name was Walter. Sounds like a fish. Walter Mitty. No, his name's just Walter. Walter loved to draw. But his parents didn't like that he drew. They just didn't like that he was doing that. And so he would try to draw. His grandparents saw that he was good at this and loved doing this, and so they encouraged that. They bought him art supplies, and they encouraged him to do different projects. And then his next-door neighbor saw that he was good at drawing. And his next-door neighbor said, hey, I've got a bunch of horses, and I need to do these drawings. Can you do them for me? This kid was 7 years old. And his neighbor believed in him, encouraged him, asked him to come be a part of what he was doing. That kid grew up to be Walt Disney, to make some of the greatest movies that have ever been made. Frozen would have not existed without Walt Disney. Disneyland, Disney World, Mickey Mouse, none of that would have been here without Walt Disney and without people in his life encouraging him. And that may seem really small and silly, but guys, I think too often, especially in the church, we're the people that are just like, nah, you shouldn't draw. Nah, whatever. Or we just don't say anything. We don't take the time to look at what causes people to have so much joy and so much life, or they're really good at, and call that out in them and call them to more. Can you imagine a world without Walt Disney? Can you imagine a world without Paul because he's just too afraid because these guys who say they're Christians don't want anything to do with him and he wasn't willing to go share the gospel with the Gentiles? God's big and can work in spite of that. But how we encourage people really matters. Speaking life into people, not only encouragement, but holding others accountable. Barnabas holds others accountable, looks at their life, looks at what they're struggling with, looks at how they can hold them up. And so, guys, again, we are at war. And in war, because we're not physically in the war, there are bullets flying everywhere. I mean, you look back at that clip, bullets are whizzing past and guys are on the ground and people are getting wounded all over the place. And here's the deal. If you get shot, sometimes it'll just like whiz past your clothes and tear your shirt or whatever. But if you get shot in the right place, your femoral artery, if it just severs your artery, you will bleed out in 2 minutes and die. 2 minutes. So can you imagine if we're in this little platoon and you're trying to help fight with these guys and you get hit and you're like, okay, no, we're good. Keep fighting. Go, go, go. You'd lose a limb or you'd lose your life. And in the middle of a war, a lot of times we're not just going, hey, Harrison, you good? You good? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why are you grunting like that? Are you good? You would not be wise to not tell people about your wound. But guys, too often here in our spiritual war, we are too afraid to tell people about our wounds. People in this room, people in your small group are hurting. Could be from fear, could be from circumstances that you're going through at home, your parents are fighting, could be from sin, but we're just too afraid to let people in. Guys, you gotta let people in. You have a group of Barnabases. If you're in a small group, you have people to lean on. Take advantage of that. If you're in a small group, be that Barnabas that others can lean on to look at those wounds, to help carry you through that and not just go through the cattiness. Because guys, there's a saying in the Navy SEALs that you leave no man behind, dead or alive, you take them off the field of battle, whatever happens. But guys, too often in the church, we leave people wounded. We don't take the time to care for them, or we just move on, or we try to pretend it's not there. If you're not in a small group, we want to help you get in one. I think it's a tool that God would use to greatly grow you and encourage you and walk through so you have people who can help carry you through the battle when it gets way, way too hard, and it's going to get hard. So what I want to ask you guys is, who are your Barnabas relationships? Who are the people in your life that are there to carry you when no one else will? Who are the people that are going to go to war with you, to walk with you? And I don't think the answer is just, oh, my small group. Because I think there are a lot of you in this room who are like me, who are in a small group, but do not take full advantage of it. I grew up in the church. I grew up in a small group in junior high. I went with these guys every week, and I was addicted to looking at things on the internet, and I didn't ever tell any of them. I was full of insecurity. I was full of fear. I just smiled on the outside to make it look like everything was okay. And I did not allow these men into my wounds. I did not allow these men to speak into my life. I just pushed them away. And because of that, I wasn't able to do that either. And this last weekend, I'm even more aware of that. I was hanging with a friend who's going to get married soon. And all the guys that are in his wedding were hanging out. And they are just not helping him be a better man. He would call himself a believer. But these guys are not calling him to grow as a man of God the way that God calls us to. You don't just get older and become a man of God or a woman of God. You don't just get older and become a better friend or a deeper friend because you've been in a relationship a long time. You have got to work for that, to let yourself be vulnerable and allow others in so that you can grow to be a Barnabas. Who are your Barnabas relationships? I hope that you have a Barnabas, and more than that, I hope that you will be a Barnabas, because guys, we need encouragement. We need to encourage others, and we need others to encourage us, because it is hard. This life is hard. The Christian life is hard. But we can lean on each other because we're not made to live in isolation. This is called a veneer. I stole this off of a door, okay? What happens is they'll make doors like you'll see around here, and instead of making it out of a huge chunk of wood that's really heavy, they'll take a really thin slice of wood like this and glue it on top, okay? A veneer is super flexible, pretty resilient, but a veneer is not very strong. It looks good. It's still wood, but after a while, if too much pressure is going on, I mean, it's super bendy. It can go through a lot, but with too much pressure, it's just going to break. It's just super brittle, super flimsy, with enough pressure, I mean like just a few fingers, it's just crumbly. So what they figured out is if you get a bunch of layers of veneer and start to glue them on top of each other, you grow in strength. And so you put those together, and what happens is you get plywood. Now, plywood's a lot heavier, but you can see here that plywood has multiple layers of these veneers that are glued together, and they create something that is really strong. All right, are you three guys in the same small group? Are three of y'all in the same small group? Y'all come up here. So, here's what I want you to do. Hold this, you guys. Okay, now you stand on that.
Stand on it?
Yeah, stand on it. It's not going to work, okay? But if you take this much thicker thing, when we stick together, if you guys hold that, and then you can get on. Hop on. Oh, yeah? That holds him. This stage is made out of plywood. When we are not made to live in isolation as a tiny veneer, it may be, oh, no, no, stay up there. Come on, come on, yeah. You're not off that easy. They're not off that easy. You've got the easy job. That phrase earlier, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far together, this is much lighter. You could go much further. This is a lot harder if they tried to run with these guys. But there are going to be times when he cannot carry himself. But we are made to live in community so that together, when we stick together, these veneers stick together, then we can multiply. See what happens here? Multiply. That's what works. Yes, it's awesome. It's super cheesy, but I hope that you remember it. I hope that when you see a sheet of plywood, you will remember that you are not made to do it alone, but you need a Barnabas in your life. And not just one, several of them. And then be a Barnabas that can hold these guys up and carry through whatever life takes you. Y'all go ahead, hop on down. Way to go. What if it snapped? That'd be crazy. It won't. Y'all grab a seat. Hey, Saul could not have made the impact that he did in the ancient world and the world that we live in without Barnabas. God wants to use you. God wants to steward your life to influence others, but you cannot do it alone. You need other men or other women in your life to encourage you. God wants to use the guys and girls in your small group, and God wants to use you to be that source of encouragement, to love them, and to walk through whatever comes. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these guys and girls in this room. Thank you for those that are in a small group, that are seeing the fruit of relationships and growing in depth of those relationships. I pray that the small groups represented in this room would go far beyond the surface and free cookies and little tiny Ozarka waters. I pray that it would be relationships that would be the deepest they've ever experienced because they are centered around Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you would stir in us and allow us to be vulnerable and authentic so that we can be known by others, because our Heavenly Father already knows us and loves us and has paid the price for us. And so may we lean on others in our woundedness. I pray for those here who don't know you, that they would come to know you. They would come to know the amazing truth that the God of the universe actually loves us, not only knows about us, but wants, he knows us and he loves us and wants relationship with us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the offer of grace and forgiveness and redemption. May we encourage one another all the more as long as it is called today until you bring us home. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.